3, verse number 1 through 3 is what we'll read for a text verse today. And pray the Lord will just help us and give us the grace that we need today for His honor and His glory. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's pray. Father, help us today. Give us grace. Stir our hearts. Help us to be sensitive to truth. And help us to rightly divide. And may it set upon some heart that you've plowed. Plant the seed. Water the seed. Bring forth fruit. You can do it because of the fact you came forth triumphant and victorious after the cross. You came forth after 3 days and nights, risen at the right hand of the Father now, making intercession for this thy people here today. Even those that's not saved, they'll be there when He saves their soul. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. And I pray you'd quicken it to somebody today. Meet with us and help us, and we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're using for a series a text verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. And this is the text for the series where He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And we're dealing with holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That means no man's going to heaven is what it really boils down to, if you please. As we looked at that, we've talked about several things and let you understand. You see, we talk about salvation a lot. We say salvation, and when we think about that, we're usually talking about one particular part. That's when He saved my soul. That's what we call justification. That's when the Spirit is quickened into life, and you're saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. But it's also called positional sanctification, position in Christ, set apart in Christ. But as we think about the title of the message, holiness, you've got to have holiness to see the Lord. And the word holiness is the same word that's translated sanctification in the New Testament several times. And there's other words that's translated for holiness as well. And so the word holiness, without holiness, you won't see God. When you're saved, you're justified. You receive Christ. You receive Him as your righteousness. You receive Him as your sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You receive Him as your holiness. That is positional holiness as well. Now, our text verse said, behold, what manner of love the Lord, the Father, has bestowed upon us. Today we're using 1 John chapter 5, 3, verse 1. That means what foreign kind of love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God today, that we should be saved. In other words, be called a son of God. What manner of love? That's a foreign kind of love. Now, the world don't know about that love, but God does. He's the one who loved us enough to die for us. He's the one who loved us enough to send the Holy Spirit that we might have a work done in our heart, that we might be saved, positioned in Christ, and have positional holiness, okay? That Spirit is saved from the penalty of sin. But yet, and still, He goes on to say here in verse 2 of this, in other words, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And that's talking about in this life. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we talk about one of these days we're going to be with this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, as 1 Corinthians 15 brings out, and that's true. That's at the rapture. We'll be like our Lord. But boy, we've got a distance from here to here, and I use this from the point of salvation to the point of glorification. That's when the body will be saved from the presence of sin. And we've got a whole lot of, and then we'll have perfect holiness, by the way. But until then, there's a growing process in our life. We call this progressive sanctification, which means the walk of progression toward perfection that'll be gained at the first resurrection. That's today. Now we are the sons of God, but what happens, we realize something here. Verse 2 said that we go, let me read that again. He said, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as he is. Then verse 3 says of 1 John 5, every man that hath this hope, that's the hope of being positioned in Christ, being saved, we call it today, that's having positional holiness. If he has that hope in him, purifieth himself. That word purifieth is the same word for holiness, which means to be holy, to grow in grace. It's the inward man is renewed day by day, the outward man perishes. But God uses his word, uses the Spirit of God to work in us, to make us more like Jesus tomorrow than we were yesterday. And one of these days we'll be like him. Bible said that in the book of Romans, he's going to make us, conform us to the image of his dear Son. Therefore, he works all things together in this life. So here we are. We positioned in Christ. That's the spirit saved from the penalty of sin. One day, the body will be saved from the presence of sin. And there's positional holiness. There is a promised holiness coming, perfect holiness. But until then, there's a time period, but through there. Might be short in hours and days and years for some, but there's a time period that we're walking in, and we call this practical holiness that you've got to have in your life. Because if you don't have practical holiness in your life, that's progressive holiness, and then you've not had positional holiness. Because somebody says what's inside counts. That's true. But what's inside does come outside, okay? In other words, if you've been positioned in Christ, you have holiness, you have him. Then God's going to make you holier day by day. That's by the way, the word saint means those that sanctify, the sanctification work of the Spirit. They've been made holy. That's why he calls you a saint. In other words, you've been set apart, work of the Holy. It's all a work of God. There's nothing you can do. But when it talks about purifieth himself, it means to make yourself available for God to work in you. Reading the Word of God, praying, and letting the Holy Spirit renew the inward man day by day, bringing you to a point that one day when the Lord comes back, then and may come back for you in the death and death. Okay. But at that time, then you'll be with him. But that's only spirit and soul. Then one day, when he comes back in the rapture, then your body will be saved from the presence of sin, and you'll be perfectly holy and be with him forevermore. Now, we're talking about this section from here to here, and I'm drawing it out on the pulpit as best I can. It's backwards for y'all, I understand. So I'll have to turn it around. But here we are, and we're in this walk of life. It's called a walk. It's called conversation. In other words, that means manner of living. As you walk with Christ after you've been saved, then God wants you to line up with him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a command of God. But the warning, that's in 1 Peter 5, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But then there's a warning in Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, you won't see God. In other words, you say, but I'm saved. That's all that matters. If you've not got a holy walk and you're not growing in holiness, now I know there's 100-fold, 60-fold, 40-fold, 30, we could say 20 and even 10, okay. But there, I know the Bible don't say that, but I'm talking about that we give benefit of that. But if you're not growing and advancing in holiness, you'll not see God. So the object of the series is to let you examine yourself to see if you've been positioned in Christ. Have you been saved and had positional holiness? If you hadn't, then you need to get honest today while there's a long-suffering God, a striving spirit, a preacher of righteousness, and an open door, so that God do a work in your heart, that holiness be planted inside you. But after you're saved, then what are you doing about it? Are you making yourself available for God to work in you and grow you in grace day by day to be more like him? Lord, help us, you see. Now, holiness, if we could define holiness, what is holiness? Holiness is basically conformity to the will of God and obedience to the Lord's command. And he's commanded us to be holy. That's a command. He's commanded us a lot of times. You say, well, I can't do all that. You realize something, as I've dealt with this series on without holiness, no man will see God. I started off saying, first of all, I tried to show you 12 things that we dealt with, what true practical holiness is from here to here. Growing in grace, renewed man being renewed day by day. And as I summarized those 12 things, I said last week and the week before, I guess, as well, but as I summarized those 12 things, basically we could summarize it up like this. It's endeavoring to follow in your Lord's steps, to be like him, to be holy as he's holy. Why? Endeavoring. Now I use the word endeavoring because, boy, sometimes we wake up And we say, boy, I tell you what, I think I can charge hell with a water pistol. I think I can get by, but it ain't long until it fizzles, you see, a lot of times in your life. But endeavoring, it means I'm trying to. And when I do wrong, I immediately want to confess my sin and forsake them. I want to do what's right. I want to do what the Lord wants me to. And it ought to be a growing. And you ought to have some victory in days bygone. As days comes along, there ought to be some changing in your life so that others can even see Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? That means the holiness, the obeying the Lord's will and in His command. Doing what the Lord said. The Lord says do something, then we need to strive to do it. When He speaks it to your heart. I know there's a general word. Sometimes the Lord says do certain things. I know one time I was listening on the radio, and one man, this is a black preacher, was going to Florida to get the girls out of college one time, driving all night. And he said, God wants you to have land. He said, I'll tell you, I can show you by the scripture. And he turned over to the book of Genesis where God said to Abraham, look north, south, east, and west. And he said, ah, God wants your seed to possess this land. Well, he's talking to Abraham there, okay? God might not want you to have land, okay? And he took another verse and went at it and had the same thing, using Abraham or somebody. Out of context. But God wants you to be what God wants you to be. And we can't look at somebody else and say, well, why don't you do like I do? We compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise. We need to be what God wants you to be in the will of God for your life. You see, God's will for your life. Are you trying to do it? That's walking in holiness and walking in that light. Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said to walk, in other words, you walk in the conversation. Let your conversation, which is your walk of life, be as I've taught you. The things He's commanded. Oh, you say, that commandments of God. That's law. We're not under law. We're under grace. I want to tell you what. The New Testament has much more to say than the Old Testament did about the law of God. The commands of Christ. The law of Christ. And they're many and variegated, I guess you could say, as we look at them. As He said some things I want you to do. I want you to be. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. James chapter 1, verse 21 said, wherefore, in view of the fact you've had positional holiness, you've been begotten of the Lord, you've been saved. Read it in context. That's what he's saying. Lay apart all filthiness, that overflow of naughtiness and that wickedness in your life. If you've been saved, there's a warning to, there's a desire to, you may not always do, but endeavoring to follow in the Lord's footsteps. Lay it apart and receive what you already have inside. The engrafted word. He's the word of God. He's the, that's in positional holy. If you really saved, He's engrafted. Receive what you already have and let it come outside. Let Him save your soul from the power of sin, the dominion of sin, day after day after day after day. More growing in grace, inward man being renewed. Now, it's just sort of recapping a little bit to see that. So, as we talk about the first thing we said is to try to show practical holiness, what is true holiness. It's endeavoring to follow in our Lord's steps. That's fellowship. In other words, that means following in the will of God and in His commandment. Endeavoring to do that. Now, the second thing I dealt with some week before last and some last week, I tried to show some reasons why practical holiness is so important. I give you four week before last. I give you four last week. Week before last, as I dealt with those four and then brought them together, I came down to number eight last week of what reasons why practical holiness is so important. And I came down to talking about the fact that we must be holy, because without holiness on earth, we shall never be prepared to enjoy heaven. Somebody said, well, I want to go to heaven when I die. Listen, if you don't have holiness, you wouldn't even want to be in heaven. You'd be out of place. Because you see, everything about heaven's holy. A holy Lord, a holy angels, it's a holy temple. I mean, it's all holy. So I give you an example. Brother Charles Shipman preached in Myrtle, Mississippi in 1973. If one of the first messages I really heard through its entirety when I went down there in 1973. He preached why the devil and the sinner wouldn't like it if they got to go to heaven like they are, in other words. Why they wouldn't like it. And he gave some reasons why they wouldn't like it, in other words. In the same token, without holiness in this life, you'd be out of place in heaven. Now, some of the things he said, and I'll just summarize just a little bit here. They spend much time in worship. Well, we can't even sometimes go Sunday morning. A lot of places, you see, we're very fortunate. People come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, unless something hinders. Mostly, as it goes. But most of the time, that's too much just to have Sunday morning. From 11 o'clock to 12. Go past 12, we got to go. We got to do this, we got to do that. Well, but you see, in heaven, they're going to be worshiping day and night. And then there's no night there. It's just an expression meaning all time. Worshiping Him. You're going to be so thrilled for what He's done for you. That's why you can be thrilled about what He's done for you now. If you really get hold of the fact what He's done for you. They spend too much time in worship in heaven. If you could go without holiness, you wouldn't want to be there. Too much worship. They also are not singing the worldly songs, that old BB Bop Bop stuff that you're used to listen to on your radio at home and in your house or wherever. They're not singing the songs of the world in heaven, but they sing the songs that lift up the Lamb of God and glorify the Lamb and His shed blood on Calvary. And they're all joining in that. And another reason people wouldn't like to go to heaven if they're without holiness, they wouldn't like it there, because they don't dress in worldly attire. They don't run around naked like they do in the world. Summertime's coming, thank God for the sun shining, but I tell you what, you need blinders on, men. You need blinders on because of what's going to be out there already, exposing too much flesh and too much curves. Listen, in heaven, they're not doing that. They're dressed in robes of righteousness. And if you're not accustomed to that, you'd be out of place there. If you're not accustomed to walking in that light, you'd be out of place in heaven. In fact, if God dropped you right in the middle of all that, you'd say, I want out of here. Like some people say, I want out of church sometime. But also another reason is the occupants there don't rest day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I know that's the beast. You say, what are they? Don't matter. They're just there worshiping the Lord, Father, the Lord there. But also the elders are representative of the saints. Also, they're worshiping and singing the song about the blood and the Lamb and worshiping Him. And the angels are carrying on before God. You're worthy to receive power and glory and honor and so forth. Over and over again, they are doing that there. That's what's going on in heaven. How could an unholy man, now when I say man, I'm talking about mankind. How can an unholy man find pleasure in heaven when all these things are going on? I'm talking about things that they're not accustomed to. Worship and praising the Lord and just adoring the Father and staying in church all day. Enjoying it, amen. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, let me ask you go a little further with that this day today than I did last week. But do you think one without holiness would delight to meet David? Would delight to meet Paul? Would delight to meet John or any other New Testament saints, the ones who wrote the Old Testament and the New Testament? Do you think you'd really enjoy moving up beside Him there in heaven? In other words, after a life that you spend in doing the very things they spoke against, you wouldn't want to see them. You wouldn't want to see them. I mean, after all, you take people today, if they've done wrong, they don't even want their parents to know it. If they've done wrong, they hide from them, right? If they've done wrong, and they know they've done wrong, you take people who've stole some things, they don't want to see a cop car or a cop coming down the street. They don't want to see that. Do you think if you spent a life in sin and practicing naturally sin, that you walk up to David and said, hi, Brother David? No, you'd dodge him. You'd want to dodge him, but you'd have to talk. You said, but now look what David did. Yeah, but I want to tell you, he didn't stay in that condition long. I'm talking about endeavoring, okay? Endeavoring to have fellowship of the Lord. Sure, we've all sinned. Nobody is perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about a desire to walk in that. And when you do sin, you confess. You get right with God. You repent of it again. And holiness is growing in you day by day. Not talking about holier than thou attitude that somehow. That bunch's not going anyway. Amen? Because they've never had a sanctification work of the Spirit done. But we're talking about, would you do that? Would such a person, an unholy person, to want to take sweet counsel with David and Paul and John
and say, tell me about this. Tell me about that. Do you think that such a person, I'm talking about without holiness, that such a person would rejoice to see the Lord Jesus, the crucified one, face to face after cleaving to the sins that he died for on Calvary? And I don't think so. I want to tell you what many people, when they walked up to Brother Ray, he had them eyes, piercing eyes, and they felt uneasy about him. Said, he looks like he's looking right through you. Until you knew him, you had an uneasiness around him, right? Had an uneasiness around him. When you got to know him, when you get to know Christ, you see, you won't have an uneasiness around him and you wouldn't mind going. But you, all the same, and that's why people have an uneasiness in church. They don't want that holiness. They shy away from that positional, I don't want to be saved. I want to live in my sin. I want to do what I want. I remember being in Mexico one time, and they were talking in Spanish. And of course, I couldn't understand what they were saying. But we was they turned on the lights outside in a chicken house, really is what it was. And we were standing there, you know, and when they turned on the lights, the hens thought it's time to lay an egg, and they cackle right during the service and come off the nest to flying, you know. But the thing about it, when the man gave the invitation, I don't know anything about what genuineness is there, but when they gave an invitation to the people, they said that there was two girls, teenage girls standing over there. They said, I would like to go. And all they probably wanted to do was pay Jesus as a insurance policy. But I'd like to go forward. But I want to go to that dance on Saturday night. And they even knew they wasn't supposed to go to that dance on Saturday night, you see. And they said, we won't go. They didn't want positional holiness. They didn't want to really be saved. Now, that was just one incident. And that's happened over and over. And that's what happens a lot of times. That's why I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be dealt with my sin to be dealt with. God's the one who's got to deal with it. I don't deal with your sin. God's got to deal with it. But he puts his finger on it. Listen, you're not going to enjoy heaven if you can't enjoy the church. You'll enjoy heaven if you enjoy the church. But you realize something. Would such a person stand before the Lord? I'm talking about an unholy person. Would they stand before the Lord with confidence and join in the cry that Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 25, 9? And this says, it shall be in that day. That's that day, okay, with him. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. Presence of sin, see. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I want to tell you what, you couldn't rejoice in that if you can't rejoice in something the Lord's done. If you're not holy, without holiness, no man should see the Lord. You see, I don't think you would enjoy it, join in that cry. But instead of the cry of Isaiah 25, 9, the tongue of such a person, unholy person, would cleave to the roof of his mouth, and with shame and his only desire would be, I got to get out of here. I don't even like it here. I don't want to stay around here. You realize something, that person would feel like a stranger in a land he knew not. He'd feel like a black sheep among Christ's holy flock. The voice of the angels and the song of the saints would be a language that he could not understand. The very air would seem an air that he could not breathe. I believe heaven would be a miserable place to an unholy man. And God said without holiness, practical holiness means you don't have, if you don't have practical holiness, you don't have positional holiness. You're not going to heaven. You're not going. Now there's hope. There's an open door. There's a striving spirit. Get honest and let God. Just get honest. I don't have that. I hadn't arrived. I don't have it, what I need on the inside. I believe heaven would be a miserable place for an unholy man. I believe it'd be a miserable place. Many would say in an unsettled way, they talk sometimes. You ask them, are you going? Well, I hope to go to heaven. I hope to go to heaven. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians 1:12 as he's praying for the saints at Colossae. He said, giving thanks. He's praying, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said, praying that you give thanks unto the Father. That's what Paul was praying. You see, but you notice that they be made meet. Made meet. Now the word meet there means to make sufficient, to render fit, to qualify. What it means is there must be a meetness for the inheritance of the saints in life. God's got to do a work in you to get you, in other words, to enjoy, to get you to be an inheritance of the saints in life. Our hearts must be somewhat in tune for the things of God. And it takes a work of God in the heart, in positional holiness, but it still takes a work of God day by day.
Repentance day by day. Confession day by day. And if you've had ever believed, exercised saving faith, you'll continue to believe every day. Day after day after day. And there'll be a growing in grace. And one day the Lord says, welcome home, son. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You realize something, you think about it. We must endeavor to be holy because of the warning. An old writer said it this way. He said, to reach the holiday of glory, we must pass through the training school of grace. Grace will teach you to deny some things and to live a certain way and to look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we must be heavenly minded and have heavenly taste in the life that now is, or else we'll never find ourselves enjoying, couldn't find ourselves, and won't find ourselves in heaven in the life to come. So without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Oh, now I want us to look at point number 3 of the message, okay? We had point 1, that's just recapping some of it. Now, number 3, let us offer a word of advice to all who desire to be holy. You say, I've never thought about being holy. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to become a new creature in Christ? Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you desire that? Do you really want that? In other words, we talk about salvation. Yeah, I want to be saved, but what do you want to be saved from? What do you want to be saved to? In other words, God says that, in other words, you're going to have to be holy. You're going to have to, you need to endeavor to do His will and keep His commands is what it amounts to, you see. But do you desire that? Then if you desire that, you must begin with Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, is He not? Without Him, you have nothing. You will not make any progress on your own. You've got to move toward Christ. You say, I'm not saved, but I really desire to be saved. That's the terms we use, which is, I desire to be holy. You may have thought about it like that. If you do, then you've got to move toward Him and Him alone. Him alone. Listen to what He says. Read the Word of God. Let Him speak to your heart through the preaching. That's how God speaks to you. Not in dreams, not in visions and so forth. Today speaks through His Word. Speaks to the Lord Jesus, you see. And so thank God for the preachers of righteousness we have. We're going to, I believe, have a good week this week. I pray that God will do something unusual this week. But you must be made aware of your sin and your weakness and your inability and then flee to Christ. Flee to Him. Move toward Him. Now, you can't even do that unless God enables you to. That's why God's going to get the glory. If you've got any desire whatsoever to move to that point of being saved, being holy, then you ought to thank God for it. And you continue on it and you move in that direction. Move toward Him. But it takes a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction called reproval. In John chapter 16 verse 8. He said, when He's come, the Holy Spirit's come, He will reprove, lay blame on with the purpose of correcting it sharply and sternly with authority, using evidence of hand to convince and convict you of your sin and your judgment and your need of Christ. Of sin, of righteousness and judgment, the verse says. Well, reproval. You've got to have it. It's got to be completed, but let God finish it. Don't let somebody short-circuit it as many are doing. You see, Christ is the root and the beginning of all holiness. The way to be holy is to come to Him by faith and be joined to Him. And it takes the work of God. That's being saved, okay? Being holy, made holy, imputed holiness, positional holiness, and be joined to Him. And then Christ is not only the wisdom and righteousness to His people, but He's sanctification also, 1 Corinthians 1:30 said. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The word sanctification is holiness. He is our holiness, if you please. He's our holiness. And so therefore men try by their own means to be holy. They toil, they grunt, they strive, they strut, they strain, they labor and turn over new leaves. And many changes come in their lives. But they're like the woman with the issue of blood. Before she came to Jesus, what did she say?
Matthew 5:26 says, and had suffered, she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's what men who try to do it within themselves without coming to Jesus try to turn over new leaves. They're just what she was, in a sense, where it said there they were nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The more you try within yourself, the further you get away from what you need to be. Nothing better. They labor in vain. They run in vain. They're bailing water out of a leaky vessel, and the leak gains on them. They grow worse. So I ask you, do you desire to be holy? Well, I've never thought about it like that. Do you desire to be saved? Then be very sensitive to the work of the Holy Ghost and His tug, and press into the kingdom. Press into the kingdom. Let not your waiting be passive waiting. Said, well, I can't do that. I got to wait. Be an active waiting, of knocking, of pursuing, of reading, and searching, and striving to enter in. Let it be that way. In other words, don't let anyone hinder you from getting to Him. I want to tell you what. There's people that hinder you from getting to the Lord. They'll try to divert you off on a side trail somewhere. Right? Well, you don't have to go through all that. You don't have to do what that preacher said. You know that you don't have to do all that. Don't listen to that. You've got to do what you've got to do to get to Him. How much? Enough. Because if you don't, there's no hope for you. Hell awaits you. That's what it amounts to. So you must move toward Christ. If He's touched you in the least little bit, and there's the least little bit of desire, you ought to thank God. Amen. It'd be good, and I know we don't do it, but it'd be good sometimes. Hallelujah! I just got a little inkling. There's a little light in the tunnel. And it's not a freight train, okay? You ought to thank God for it, amen? You ought to thank God for that, because it's God done that. It's not me, it's God. I know we've strived and we've preached and we've labored over the years, but still, we're nothing. He's everything. Get to Him. Get to Him. You've got to get to Him. Bartimaeus is a man. You know the story. I hope you know the story, but sometimes I've got to tell you, because sometimes we find out people don't know the story. Bartimaeus was blind. He probably did like the woman with the issue of blood. He went everywhere. He tried everything. Probably went out and got the lily of the valley. As they say, the lily of the valley, if you take the juice out of it and put it in your eye, it helps blindness sometimes on animals and humans. They did that over there. They used that. The lily of the valley was good for that. Well, the thing about it is, I believe he'd done everything possible but man. And here he is sitting down, and all he could do is just beg for enough to get enough morsel of meat and bread to get by. And the meat would have been probably bread and water, just to get by the day, the week, the month, or so forth. But one day, Jesus was coming that way. I don't know what all he'd heard, but he heard something, and he knew something, because when he heard Jesus was coming, and Bob probably said, that's the one I've been looking for, and I can't see him because I'm blind. But I've been heard about him. And he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I won't tell you what, he knew he's a son of the King was coming. He knew something. I can't explain all about that, but he began to cry, and just like most people, you know, in church, you get a little bit too excited. Somebody say, tone it down just a little bit. You're upsetting the young people. No, you're probably upsetting the older people who don't want to come that way. Amen. Amen. But the thing about it, they said, shh, be quiet. You're disturbing the crowd. Why, people, I imagine last night there's a bunch of people shouting last night at that game, and they didn't get to go through, did they? Well, what I'm saying is, they got all excited, and they didn't worry about what the people beside of them thought, did they? Huh? Didn't worry. And I imagine after it was over with a lot of crying and tears, because they failed. I'm going to tell you what, you won't know, you'll fail if you don't get to Jesus. You'll fail and wind up in hell, and it'll be too late. Now there's an open door, striving spirit, and a preacher, righteous, long-suffering God. So. Move toward him as much as you can. Bartimaeus is sitting there. And he's sitting there. And according to the scripture, another place is two of them sitting there. But we don't hear much about the other one. Don't know what happened to him. But the thing about it is, they said, be quiet, be quiet. And he cried the louder, he said. I can't be quiet. I've got a problem, and I know I've got a problem. And the only one who can help it is him. Jesus, the Son of David. And he cried out again louder, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they probably tried to quieten him down. And then all at once Jesus said, tell him to come to me. Gave him an invitation. I don't know whether he heard him with his own ears or whether it was passed on to him by human instrumentality, okay? But he heard enough. He said, he calleth for thee. He calleth thee. And when he started to get up, I believe somebody reached to try to set him back down. He don't want to fool with you. He ain't got time for you. You're a nobody. You're a low down, rotten sinner. In essence, I mean, that's what they looked up on him. Had to beg and couldn't work and couldn't make a living. Just sat down. And they got a hold of his coat. I don't know. It's in the Greek, okay? It's in between the words. But the Bible said he got up and left his coat. You know why he left it? I believe they had a hold of him, trying to hold him down. But he said, one thing, I've got to get to him. He calleth for me. He gave him an invitation to come. And when he went, he was healed. And he was saved. Amen? Thought so. He was saved. Well, the thing about it is, you realize something. You listen for the invitation God gives you. Sometimes God may give you an invitation that may not be the final one. But he says, he may ask you to do something sometimes. And I believe this with all my heart. People say, well, I missed out. I didn't do what the Lord wanted me to. Well, God knew about that before you ever did it. Didn't do it. You say, but what do you mean? Well, I believe sometimes God asks you, you feel like God wants me to do something. I need to go to the altar. I need to do this. And you won't go. Amen. Amen. Won't go. But he knew you wasn't going to go. Sometimes you say, well, I just didn't do what the Lord said and there's no hope for me. Yes, there is hope. God knew about that and he loves you. And he's still working in your heart. If the first time we didn't do what God said, we'd all be in hell. If we didn't do what God said. That's all it was. Thank God he comes again and again. We don't deserve it, but he does. There's hope for us today. And when God, when he gives you the least little thought, try to obey that. Try to move to that. It may not be salvation, but he's working in you, causing you to yield, causing you to get your self-will out of the way. I'm willing to do whatever he says. Well, if he told you to climb a wall, some kind of wall, you'd probably be trying it. I mean, but he just says, when he gives you whatever it is, respond to it. Go as far as you can every time he deals and reach out a little bit further. Reach out a little bit further. Don't back up because... You see, Bartimaeus didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that. And he'll call you. You say, it'd be like Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you tired? Are you laboring? Under strutting, straining, striving, if you please? Are you laboring? Yeah, you get tired. He said, if you labor and heavy laden, when he responds, when you hear him, maybe through his word, maybe through the preacher that he quickens something to you, come to him. Come to him. Go as far as you can. Say, well, that didn't work last time. It won't work this time. And he knows all about that. But he's still faithful. He's still faithful. Amen. He may not call you in the words of Matthew 11:28. You may not hear the voice in that sense. Inside your heart, you just know, I need to go. Hey, come, come, come. All ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you whatever the invitation. But try to get to who? Him. And say the words the songwriter penned down, if you please, in Rock of Ages, the third verse that's not printed in either one of our books. Okay? They left it out. Listen to what the Rock of Ages third verse says. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked flee to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. They didn't put that in there. Somebody who corresponded to that book didn't want that verse in there. Amen? Modernizing things all over, okay? You must get to him. Bible said in Acts chapter 5, verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. You say, that's for Israel. That's not for me. Listen, you're spiritual Israel when he forgives you, but he's talking about that you need repentance and forgiveness of sin, and he brings both of them. He is the one that does. John 1, 11, or 12 and 13, 11 says he came to his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now see, holiness comes not from the blood of man. That's what he's talking about. It comes from the blood of Christ, okay, but what he's talking about in verse number 13, he's talking about the blood. Parents cannot give holiness to your children. You can make them do right and try to make them do right, and they may do right, but that's still not going to be holiness until God imputes it and then works it in you day by day in that walk of grace. Holiness is not of the will of man, he said in that verse. In other words, preachers cannot give it to you by having you to repeat a prayer, nor by being baptized, as some would say. But he said the last part of verse 13, but of God, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Holiness comes from Christ, imputed holiness, okay? And it's the result of vital union with him. And it's the fruit of being a living branch of the true vine. You've grafted in. In other words, do you desire to be holy? Do you have that desire? Now you say, I've already been saved. Let me ask you another question now. We're talking about practical holiness, okay? Would you desire, do you desire to continue being holy in your daily walk? I'm saved. Do you desire to be holy in your walk? That's equivalent to what the Bible talks about abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. He said, abide in me. That means have no part of life. He can't have a part of. You're in him. I and you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, and no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Holiness, as the inner man's new day by day. You take an old grapevine and cut off a stem of it or a branch of a tree. Cut it off, throw it down out there. It will not produce any fruit, whatever kind it is. Got to be grafted in. And God's grafted you in when you've had imputed holiness. Now he said, abide in me. Let me have run of your life. Let me give you the commands and the will of God for your life. And you endeavor to abide therein. Holiness. As the inner man's renewed day by day. Colossians 1:19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him, should all fullness dwell. There's where it's all at, in Christ. It's in Christ. And by the way, if you're in him, that having all fullness dwell, that means a full supply for whatever the believer needs and wants, because he's got a new want to, okay? Whatever he wants. The Lord is the physician to whom you must daily go if you want to keep well. He is the manna which you must daily eat. He's the rock which you must daily drink. His arm is the arm on which you must daily lean as you come up out of the wilderness of this old world. You must not only be rooted with imputed holiness, but you must also be built up in him. Progressive holiness, practical holiness, if you please. Paul was a holy man, a growing, thriving Christian. But what was the secret of his success? Christ was all he needed. Christ is all I need. We sing that song. That's what he would say. Because the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, he wrote it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who authored it. He's the one who brings me. He's the finisher of our faith. He's all I need. He said also in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Galatians 2:20, which is a perfect tense verb, means a past completed action with existing result. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I crucified, imputed. Now, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about him. It's all from him. You see, Paul had holiness in his life. And he's the one who wonders in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. May we feel the importance of holiness more than we ever have before. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse number 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Imputed holiness and practical holiness. Progressive holiness, if you please. The walk of perfection toward progression toward perfection that will be gained at the first resurrection. Perfect holiness then. Promised holiness then, you see. When he comes for us is what we're talking about, the rapture. Until then, may we be found in peace, without spot, and blameless. That's holiness. Endeavoring to do that, endeavoring to be that, as God works it in us. Why, preacher?
Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Father, I pray some way, somehow, somebody get hold of something that'll change something in their life that cause them to desire more to be holy, to be saved. And then after they're saved, then you work that holiness in them. You're going to make them like in the image of your dear son. You're going to make them holy.